And now for something completely different. Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid, even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, how many people live by old wives' tales? And an old wives' tale is defined, by the way, in the dictionary as a false idea or belief. We hear them in partly quoted scriptures saying things that appear to contain reason, and unspiritual proverbs to produce a certain kind of behavior. We also listen to them regarding a person who does something wrong. We don't know what's in their heart when somebody does something wrong. What did Jesus say about knowing what's in a person's heart? We're going to examine that because everybody says you can't know what's in the heart. Is that true? Let's see what Jesus said about it. Next, so many scholars, so many lies. There's a profound need for us to understand who Jesus is and to understand who we are, confessing him as our Savior and our Lord. He is one of us. And if he were not, he could not help us in regards to ourselves. And if he is not God, if he were not God, he cannot help us with God. So this is a big deal. Jesus has to be able to help us as people and has to be able to bridge the gap between us and God. The only way to do that is to be both and not one or the other. We'll get to that. And finally, God does not perform magic. If we want to see magic tricks, we can watch how the government makes all our money disappear. Bing! Disappear? Wow. But many of us want to see power in the kingdom. By itself, that's not wrong. Moses and David said the same thing. But sometimes the best miracle is just watching the super people who have super faith believe for super stuff from God. It's amazing to watch.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. By the way, that was a really long intro, and I can tell that I've been writing for school because it's so wordy. Anyway, lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Oh, just so much. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. We take the text live. When you text something that we can share, we respond. If you text something we can't share, we don't respond. You can also call us at 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you get to talk to the amazing Jennifer.
Hello, hello, hello.
And I will say that you have done an amazing job this week.
Well, thank you. It's been fun.
Excellent work. You are such a pro. You are. You're just such a pro. I mean, it's just amazing. And it's easy and it's simple. And I love it. Okay? So I appreciate that and appreciate all the effort you put into it. Okay, keep in mind, folks, if you do call in, you get Jennifer, and then she's going to turn you over to me. And then, you know, whatever happens, happens. It's kind of its own thing. But the bottom line is any topic is open for conversation on this show because it's not professional radio. And we have demonstrated that since we started back in March 18th. I think it was March 18th, 2019. I think that sounds about right. It's in that ballpark.
It's been that long? Just kidding.
Yeah. No, yes, it has. And you want to know how I really know it's been that long? It's not the show. it's the drive.
Yes.
The drive has been like, my car is like going, what are you doing? What are you doing? Where are we going?
It's almost time for a new car.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I got to get a bicycle that has an engine. That's something. I got to do something. All right. Anyway, here's the bottom line. You might have a prayer request, a praise report. You might have an answer to Bible trivia. You might have something you want to ask a question about, or you may want to share something the Lord is doing in your life. We think, oh, that's great. You may just have an answer to trivia, like this trivia question right here. This is a thought provoker, even though it's the first one. I'm doing it a little tougher on this one. About, now notice what I said, about how old was Jesus when he began his ministry? There you go. I'm just going to leave that there. About how old was Jesus when he began his ministry? If you think you know, by the way, you can call 972-445-0770. You can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email david@hemustincrease.org, of which, by the way, we will also encourage you folks to go to hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, everybody sending in texts. Every person is right, Rooney. I don't know if that's a word either. But while you're figuring that out, we're going to do our first teach. So we got that done. I think we're ready to go. I think we can do the teaching. Okay, ready to go. Here we go. There is an old adage, an old proverb, an old wives' tale that says people have been making excessive use and abuse of this statement here. I'm going to say it, and then we're going to just see what Jesus has to say about it. See, I always like doing that because then it's like, really? Okay. Here's what you always hear. Well, you know, I know that person did all those evil things. But you really can't know what's in a person's heart. You can't know what's in a person's heart. Can't do it. Let's check with Jesus. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, because that's the New International Version, let's use a more academic version. We'll use the English Standard for this. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But Dave, that's academic. Let's do a translation that's more up to par with our way of speaking. Okay. New Living Translation. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. When people say bad things, when people do bad things, there is something called the fruit. And the fruit is the fruit. Now, that does not say that person never did something good. And I will give a few props to our friend Troy, who did make an interesting point. Every time somebody is passing away, hardly anybody ever says, that person was terrible. They were awful. You know, it's good. It's God's problems now. It's like, I don't even want to deal with it. Nobody ever says that, right? But there is a truth that some people are super terrific and some people are super not terrific, and they're bad. And one of the indicators that you and I get to use, oh yeah, you're not going to like where I'm going to take this, is the words that people speak. So when people speak a lot of death, and people speak a lot of darkness, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out there's not some great stuff in there. The big part of this that's hard for you and me to deal with is this. We hear our own words. What do our words tell us about our own heart? Now, I'm not talking about the words that Dave Spoon is going to talk about on a public radio show where everybody's listening, and his wife will review it and make sure that he says nice things. I'm talking about when you're in private and you're just sharing and you're being intimate and honest with your spouse or your friend or your kids or your parents, those words too. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's inside that heart is revealed through our words. And our words are simply, well put, I will say, vehicles of thought. And those vehicles of thought reveal what kind of character we do have or what kind of character we don't want to have. So with that said, you go into something like Proverbs, which says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and you realize I've got to make sure that the things that I share, they don't all have to be full of flowers, they don't all have to smell good, but there can't be darkness or evil in it. It's got to be out of a sincere, loving, genuine heart. And when we say things and then we have activities that demonstrate really bad darkness, sinfulness, we need to own that and ask God to help us with that and cleanse us from that, exactly like King David did, who was a man after God's own heart when he said, "Wash me from the iniquities I don't even know about. Just get them out of me. Because I know that there's stuff there, and you don't like it." Okay, there you go. Answer to the trivia question, how old was Jesus? About 30 years old. You could say 29 to 30 years old when he started his ministry. Isn't that young? It just seems so young to me now. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Can't stand
the skill, can't stand the shame. What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
That a joyful heart makes like medicine. If you got a better joke than these, you can call and tell me. But it's got to be a better joke. How do groups of angels greet each other? Ready for this one? Halo, halo, halo. Come on, like halo. Come on. You don't like that one? Oh, come on. Which servant of God was the most flagrant lawbreaker in the Bible? Moses. He broke all 10 commandments at once. See, because he threw down the tent. Where was Solomon's temple located? Do you know that one? On the side of his head. What? That's a legend. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it. Okay. How do we know that there were automobiles in Jesus's time? Do you know this one? It's an old one. It's very simple because the Bible says that all the disciples went out and were in one accord. Okay. All right. Did you hear about the dial-up prayer service they have for atheists now? Did you hear about that? You dial the number, it rings and rings and rings and nobody answers.
Spoon!
Okay. Somebody's going to dislike this one, but this is silly, so just relax. Take a deep breath. Are you going to tell me life's so serious? I mean, are you not just sick of everything that's going around? Take a deep breath and think about this. Who are Gumby's favorite Bible characters? That's right. I said Gumby. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego. Thank you very much. Who was the smartest man in the Bible? Smartest man in the Bible. Abraham, because he knew a lot. Come on. That's good. All right, here, we'll get to the best ones, then we'll quit. On the ark, Noah got milk from the cows. What did he get from the ducks? Quackers. All right, that's not that good. What animal could Noah not trust? You should know this. I've told you this before. What is it? What animal could Noah not trust?
A lion.
The cheetah. The cheetah. Which Bible character had no parents? Joshua, son of Nun. There you go. See, because it's N-U-N.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Getting ready for our next trivia question. And then you'll be thrilled to know there's a few more. There's another joke coming behind all those. Yeah.
Yay.
Yay. Thank you. Yay. Is the show over? Yay. True or false? Not doing anything tricky here. So let's just, okay. When you know tricky, you'll get the buzz thing, but it's not tricky. True or false? Jesus rebuked a storm on Lake Galilee and it obeyed him. For a further explanation of that, Mark chapter 4, verse 39 would help you out. Mark chapter 4. But true or false, Jesus rebuked a storm on Lake Galilee, and it obeyed him. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can text in 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I do want to point out that people are getting so comfortable with me. This is a shout out to Eric that he didn't even bother to write the whole word. He just put the first letter of whether it was true. That's how lazy we're getting. All right, we ready for our true answer? Okay. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, this is Samson, and Shabbat Shalom, brother.
Shabbat Shalom, my good friend. How are you?
I'm doing very good.
You know, your testimony was such a blessing for so many people. I had some people comment on it, and I just want to let you know how much people appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. Please pray for me for a new car, because the car is costing so much that I can't afford.
Well, what's great about the Lord is because we do have faith, he can take the little you have and multiply it, and that's going to be the key, right? All right.
Yes, that's right. All right, regarding your question, it's false.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you another chance to look at that, because it's he rebuked a storm on Lake Galilee.
Yes.
It is. Well,
but I think it's a Sea of Galilee, not the Lake of Galilee.
That is better than what I was. That is actually a great way to say that.
I know he rebuked.
That's hilarious.
Storm obeyed, but you were emphasizing on a sea of the Lake of Galilee. But
Catch that. Okay, so that therefore the answer is true and false. True, okay. He rebuked it on Galilee. False, it's a lake. It should be a sea, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that is just genius. That is genius. I didn't even think of it. Because it's a bigger body of water, or it's a bigger, different structure of water than a lake, isn't it? It's more of a...
Yeah.
Okay. See?
And just a minute ago, I was listening to quirky, corny jokes, Christian jokes.
Yeah. What do you mean?
And you mentioned about Joshua.
Yeah, son of Nun.
And actually, he was a Catholic. Joshua was a Catholic because he was the son of Nun.
Yeah, got it. Like a nun. Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me. Good job, my brother. That was a really good catch on the lake line. I love it. I love it when you call in. Great job.
Cool. Hey, can I ask you a theological question?
Sure.
I think on the last time I think something got lost in the communication. But I was asking you, did God created this whole universe in the beginning when Genesis says? So it means God already made before something, before he created this world, you know?
In other words, you got to say it a little differently because I just need to understand it. Are you asking if God created the universe and then
God already existed?
Yes, God already
but
existed.
Genesis says, like, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth.
Right. So heavens and earth did not. Right. Okay.
Or the other entities was already created. Is that correct?
Okay. That's a great question. And that is exactly what it is. God created the heavens and the earth. The angelic order may or may not have been in place. Just so you can know, for somebody to say it overly definitively, you got to be careful. But there's many people believe that when it says that God created the heavens and the earth, that there's time and space involved in that. And so that's why you have, like in verse 1 and 2, you have people thinking, well, maybe it's a little bit of distance between day 1, day 2, day 3, and so on and so forth, and not 24 hours. But in reality, before the angels existed, before there was an angelic order, before there was people, before there was a universe, God existed. He created the universe into matter for the sake of other beings, not for himself. So he existed prior to any matter in existence. It's very
physical matter.
Correct. And then when the angelic beings came in, God created that sphere for them. And if that was created at the same time as the human sphere, not positive, probably could be, you know, kind of thing would be the answer. But what we know is that God pre-existed the universe and therefore pre-existed time, which is very important to understand. That scripture makes it clear that God is interlinear. He exists in all the frameworks of time. He doesn't have a point of origin, nor does he have a point of exit like we understand birth and death. He transcends time. How's that for a mind blower?
Yeah.
You're like going, wait, what? And that's the problem with trying to take infinite and put it into a finite mind.
Yes.
That's the difficulty right there. So God did pre-exist all, everything, including a heavens, which would be a more of a locational kind of concept.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah, but then there is also another question to ask, because as Genesis says, like the earth was void and there was a darkness, and God's spirit walks on the water. So it means he already created water prior to that?
Well, so that's how God created the earth. What we understand is the spirit, there might have been some type of liquid that, but it would not have been teeming with life as water as we know it. So it could have been, you see what I'm saying? It could be a liquid, but it doesn't have life capacity or life generating force in it. And until the spirit hovered over it, it didn't have anything that could produce.
Yeah, I mean, because that's kind of my observation. I was like, okay, if the earth was void and there was a chaos, and then out of that chaos, he created the order and created this heaven and earth. So it's meant there was something.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people. The funniest part about this, let me just, I think this is, it's a great point, so we'll stick with it. One of the funniest parts about this is when you talk to somebody about theoretical science and you get into this, and I've done this before, what they say, now just watch this, what they say, because they don't use God, right? What they say is, there was nothing, wait, and then there was something. Which by itself is a philosophical impossibility. In other words, there was nothing, and then now there's something. Mm-hmm. Okay, but how did that happen? And they're like, no, it was just there. And it's like, what does that mean, it was just there? Somebody had to put it there. So that you can't have nothing and then have it become something without an agency to do that.
Yes.
And then they're like, well, but we don't know that. It's like, okay, well, I do. His name is God. You see there? Then you get into that. That's really kind of the fun stuff, but you got to really be, I think you got to be not arrogant, but really you got to know it to be able to engage with it. I don't know it well enough. I just know some of it, but I know it enough to know that God is the ultimate scientist, and it doesn't matter what anybody says about the laws of physics. God doesn't care. Like, I don't care. So he has general laws, and then he has his laws that he shows. Okay? Does that help?
All right.
Is that helpful?
Well, thank you so very much. Sorry I took your extra time.
Oh, that's all right. People love you. They appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you, David. Love you, and Shabbat Shalom again.
All right. God bless, my brother.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that did take us. So now we have somebody that did. That was good, right? Because we just have fun. I'll do this really fast. I'll skip the comedy thing. We'll do that next. It's just a joke, but it is a good one. All right, let me just say this real quickly. I just want to point out for all the people that said that Jesus never claimed to be God, I just want to kind of help you out here real quickly. John 19, 6 through 8, so when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out saying, "Crucify, crucify." Pilate said to him, "Take him yourself and crucify him. I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered, "We have a law, and by law he ought to die because he made himself out to be the Son of God." And therefore Pilate, when he heard this statement, was more afraid. Now listen to what the next thing says. "For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him." This is earlier in the book of John. "Because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but also called God his own Father, making him equal to God." They wanted to kill Jesus because Jesus said, "I am the Son of God," which made him equal to God. And then when they were trying to get him crucified, they're like, "He called himself the Son of God. Kill him, kill him." And then Pilate's going, "What, are you crazy? The guy's calling himself the Son of God. Why am I going to kill him?" But see, their theory of what the Messiah was supposed to be and what they wanted for religious order was getting messed up. And as soon as people have their political aspirations all messed up, they change allegiances. Have you noticed? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how things change real quickly when it doesn't go the way that people think it should go? I don't even care what political side you're on. It's got nothing to do with anything. If you're not on God first side, you're on the wrong side. And don't say, "Well, these people represent this more closely," or "these people are this more closely." If you're not kingdom first, you're wrong. My brother and I had this conversation just the other day. It's either you're for the kingdom of God or anything else. But that's all there is. I don't care if it's the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of man, the kingdom of this, that, whatever. I don't care if it's the kingdom of Candyland. It's the kingdom of God or not the kingdom of God. Those are the two. Get it? Okay. All right, we'll take our break, come back, and I'm still doing my joke. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment.
because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table. And somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. We're going to do things a little different, so everybody bear with us. love you guys. On what occasion did Jesus say, "I have not found such great faith even in Israel"? On what occasion did Jesus say, "I have not found such great faith even in Israel"? Wow. What was the occasion for that whole thing? Do your best to kind of, you don't have to answer it perfectly, but you have to answer it around the ballpark of what it is. I do want to say one thing that Kirk said. Somebody's calling in to answer that, but I do want to say something really quick that Kirk said that I thought was really good. He said, "God doesn't break any laws." Technically, that is correct, since God is outside of all law in the sense that any kind of law, natural law or otherwise, he created, he's allowed to. It's not breaking it if God changes it. I just want to say that. That's what the first thought. When Kirk sent that to me, I thought, that's the truth, because God's not in conformance to any law or in requirement to be restricted by any law. God is outside of everything because God is all in all, and everything is in him. So if God decides today that gravity doesn't work, it wouldn't work. I'm just telling you how it goes. Don't tell me. Tell God. If you don't like it, argue with him. Let me know how that goes. We have somebody answering the trivia. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is my brother Ace.
Hey, brother Ace. It's so good to hear your voice. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Thanks are much better through your prayers and the prayers of the saints.
All right. Amen. That's awesome. I'm so glad to hear that you're doing better. That'll put a smile on so many people's face. Faces. That's really good.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that a lot. Thanks.
You got it.
Everybody.
All right, now, you know this is a classic. On what occasion did Jesus say, "I have not found such great faith even in Israel"? Who was he talking about? Who was he talking to when he said that? What was that situation?
My memory wants to say it was the leader that had a servant that was sick, and he said, "Just say the words, and my servant will be healed."
That is correct. It's the centurion. He said, "Heal my servant. You don't even have to visit my house. Just give a command. It'll work. It'll be great." And Jesus said, "Wow, that is fantastic faith." You got to go a long way to impress Jesus, and that was pretty good.
That was awesome. I like to use that myself.
Yep.
Just say the word, Lord, and I know it'll be taken care of.
You know, that's a great statement, because a lot of people don't realize we can do that in certain regards. It's like we could just say, "Well, Lord, you said it, so I'm just going to stand in it and move on to the next thing." It's like we can do that. Take him at his word.
You have to do it for all.
Excellent. Excellent job, my brother. I'm so glad to hear your voice, too. I really am. I'm glad you called in, because I was wondering how you're doing. So I'm really glad to hear you.
I've been listening and been paying attention, so I haven't missed anything much. So I do enjoy the program and the people that call in. So one day we'll all meet together. So may the Lord bless all of you.
Absolutely. We've actually, Noel and I talked about it. We should probably try and do some kind of big get-together, like some kind of food thingy get-together kind of thing. It'd be fun.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
All right. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Love it. Love it. Great job, brother.
Thank y'all. Take care of yourselves.
All right. Bye bye. Okay. Brother Ace doing an excellent job. He got four aces on that. A royal flush on that one. All right. That's not that funny. All right. Here's the next joke.
I'm going to do the history last because I'm not sure a lot of people are going to like this joke. So I'm going to do it and get it over with. And then you can tell me, okay, that you didn't like it afterwards. Okay, ready? Are you ready for this? This is a longer one, so just get the buzzer ready. That would be my answer. Now, it's not theological, folks. It's a joke. Everybody put down the theological guards. You know, everybody relax. Nobody's trying to change anybody's theology here. Centuries ago, God came down, went to the German people and said, I have commandments that will help you live better lives. The Germans asked, what are the commandments? The Lord says, they are rules for living. That's what commandments are. Give us an example. God said, you shall not kill. Not kill? Well, I don't know if we're interested in that. So God went to the next group, to the French people, and said, I have commandments. They said, well, what's an example? And the French people said, you can't covet your neighbor's wife. And they're like, nah, I don't know if we're interested in that. Nah, I got to wait. And then he goes to the next group, and there's the Italians. And he says, nobody get offended by this. It's just a joke. What are some of the examples of the commandments? Well, you know, you can't steal. You can't do these things. He goes, they're like, I don't know. Then God went to the Jewish people, and he said, how much of the I have commandments? And the commandments said, well, how much are they? And God said, well, they're free. And then the Jewish people said, we'll take 10. You see, we'll take 10 commandments. Come on! We'll take 10 because they're free. Okay. Now, I know I'm going to get a bunch of letters, so just send those letters to David told a really bad joke, and it was really offensive, and therefore I want to let him know that at gmail.com. That account lasts for another 15 seconds. They're free. We'll take 10. They're
You're
free.
Killing me, Smalls. Okay.
I'll never tell that joke again. That's for sure. Okay. I guess we'll just pass on that. Okay, fine. Some people like this. Some people are like, don't you ever tell a joke like that again. Whoops. Luke chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and set him down in front of Jesus. But not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof. We just talked about this the other day. They went up on the roof and they let him down through the tiles with his stretcher in the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Jesus, seeing their faith. Okay, I want to stop right there because this is really important for my friends who are more Pentecostal and charismatic. Okay? So as you guys know, I'm a Baptist, right? I have Baptist background, Pentecostal background, charismatic background, ordinations from a bunch of different groups, different theologies and studies, and blah, 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 blah. Okay? Sometimes when people read scriptures, they can put more into it because of their background. That's not really that unusual, which is why when you're doing study, you just need to be aware of it. Make sure that you check. Make sure you're not going too far out to the left or right. You know, the Bible says walk straight ahead. So some people will see this passage and they will say, well, Jesus saw their faith because, you know, it was almost like supernatural. He knew what was going on. And I think that's wrong. And I'm telling you that as a Baptist, I'm telling you that as a person who's seen God do just tremendous, tremendous things and shown me wonderful things. I think it's very clear that Jesus did something that was very normal. He saw their faith by what they did. So what did they do? They cracked open a roof. They ripped apart some tiles, probably a little nicer roof than normal, okay? Because typically on the roofs in many of these houses, they had their socializing would take place on the rooftop, actually. And they lowered this guy down on a mat. What they were convinced of was that if Jesus just got close to their friend, this guy would be healed. So their faith was evident in their actions of just trying to get this person close to Jesus. Their faith was seen, get this is the key, by what they did. And our faith
needs to do better than just have verbal connected to it. We need to have actions and deeds and activities that demonstrate that we have faith. A great example of this is Abraham, when God said, go out of this country and I'm going to show you something and I'm going to, you know, change your world and do all these things. Abraham didn't have all the necessary tools, but you know what he did? He went. And that going was faith. Why I'm saying that is because a lot of people say they have faith, but they don't do anything to demonstrate that faith. These people were showing their faith just by saying, if we can just get this guy close, if Jesus get in the parameters, this guy, he'll be healed, he'll be well. And why I'm bringing that up is because too many people talk about faith and not enough people do about faith. There are times where you just need to do the action of what you actually believe and let that be the statement of your faith. I don't agree that that's always the case, just so you can know. And I have heard many great scholars and many great men and women of God saying, well, you preach the gospel, and if you need to, use words. Oh, that sounds great, but that's just unrealistic, because if you don't know the truth, then that's not how that goes. I mean, you got to tell people what the gospel is. But your actions should reflect the genuineness of that faith that's in you. You should be able to believe that the action you take as committed to God will be seen by God. It is an act of faith, and that it will be recognized, and that will bring about a lot of activity from God, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those that seek him. Here's the bottom line. Let your actions demonstrate the faith that you really have. Make the connection, okay? All right. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White, was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage, and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member
has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, now, I don't know if Joanne or Cordelia want to call in prior to me asking the trivia question, so I'm going to give them a chance to. They said they wanted to call in and make a comment, which they are welcome to, so that's my hint to you gals if you want to call in. I'll give you an extra minute, and then I will do the trivia question, okay? Trivia, yes. Okay, she said trivia, yes. See how we engage here? It's so bizarre. I know. All right. Okay. Here you go. Who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God"? Who said that? Who said, "You are the Christ"? You are the Christ. At some point in your Christian walk, you said that. I'm just saying, but who said that initially? Okay, all right. Okay, there you go. All right, in the meantime, if you want to call in, you can call in, what is our number? 972-445-0770. Or, and people are like, well, Dave, that's not an overly complex question. That answer determines people's eternity. So I don't have any problem restating that question 500 different ways, just so you can know. Okay? Because that question, you know, I mean, the question, who do people say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That whole thing, that tells you so much, doesn't it? Tells you so much. It just means so much. Okay? All right. Do we have somebody that, is that Joy and Cordelia or somebody answering? It is Joy and Cordelia. We're going to let them come on first.
But she said she wants to try to answer the trivia question.
Oh, okay. All right. Then I'm going to give her that chance. Ready? Ring her away. Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, hi, David. This is Joy Ann. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Very blessed, and I hope your ankle is better.
You know what? It is. I was able to work out this week. The only bummer about working out is once I worked out, I realized how fat I really was. Anyway.
Oh, we're praying for you.
I appreciate that. Okay, let's do the trivia first, and then I'll give you a chance to respond. Who said of Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God"?
Well, that was the Apostle Peter.
That is correct, Amanda. Got that rolling right away. And then I understand you might want to make a comment.
Yes, thank you. You know, Romans 12:10 says, "Love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor." And I loved what Deborah said, and we honor her, too. And one thing I love to do is to write down the names of your callers. And I'm just going to rattle this off real quick. It's so you know I'm paying attention, like Al was saying, or was it I think Al was. Anyway, so in alpha order, approximately, Ace, Al, Cordelia, Deborah, Eric, Gary, Kurt, John, Julie Ann, your daughter, Mary, Mac, Ronnie, Samson, Sergio, Troy, and Stephen. And I may have missed somebody.
All right.
Now, but we pray for them.
Do you have Paul on that list? I'm just checking.
Paul. I'll add Paul.
Okay.
Thank you. Everybody's important. You know, there are some names we missed, but thank you.
You are more than welcome. It's just so great that you even list them and then pray for them. That is the true mark of Christianity being worked out, is caring about others, carrying their burdens, and loving on them. So I had Eric's texting, "Don't forget Johnny."
Johnny, yes.
Yeah, don't forget Johnny. And then you got Kirk, and he's another one that
yes,
texts.
I've got Kirk.
But you got Kirk there, but you got Johnny. Yeah, we could do this for hours.
I know, isn't this fun?
Yeah, so it's great. I try to remember everybody's name. It's almost impossible.
Well, and that's one reason, you know, we also put that in the text messages, like when we say, okay, praying for Samson's car,
yep.
And then I can go back and look on my scroll of texts and see, okay, who needs this and that. So
that's just amazing. Do you got Donna Gale on there? Did you say Donna?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
I thought you did
I do.
Say Donna.
I have beautiful Donna Gale.
Oh, my goodness.
And her daughter.
Yes.
Is sad.
How many names do you have on that? I mean, do you know how many there are?
I counted. There are 15.
Okay.
So, I would like to say this as well. And can I just encourage people to give to your ministry, even if it's just a few dollars, just to encourage you? You know, the Lord will honor that and reward you all that give, because this is such an incredible ministry. We discovered you shortly after we had a house fire a little over a year and a half ago, and you were such a comfort to us. You made us laugh, and you know, you've prayed for us, and we've seen already beautiful answers to prayer. So that is my closing comment for today, because I know you have so much more to teach, but we just thank you and bless you.
Oh, that's so kind of you. You're such great people. We love you guys, and we appreciate you very much, and keep that list going, and we're just going to keep adding to it. That's what we're going to do.
Amen.
Okay?
Thank you. Back
right.
at you. Thank you, David.
Right.
Happy weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Believe it or not, I did not pay for that. I know many of you are thinking, did you pay for that? No, I did not. All right, we're going to do the history real fast, and then I'll do my last teach. The last teach is really good, I think. So let's do history.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, now I'm going to confess something. This is one of my biggest weaknesses right here. Today is peanut butter and chocolate day.
Yum.
I mean, I'm just sorry. I just happen to like peanut butter chocolate.
You know, that is really the only way I will eat peanut butter is if it's with chocolate.
Mm-hmm. I like the Reese's, and I like the chocolate ice cream with the peanut butter. Oh my goodness,
delicious!
I love it. 1829 on this day, the typewriter was invented. Remember the typewriter? I don't even know what that is. Let's see. And then is there anything else that's really that important?
Oh.
No. It's gorgeous grandma day. All grandmas are wonderful. I don't know what the rest of that means. And then the last thing is hot enough for you day.
That's coming next week.
Yeah. But you got to live in Phoenix to really appreciate hot enough for you day. I mean, that's... You know, the day I left, 118.
That's hot. is hot.
Really, I couldn't even get out of there without. Okay. All right, let me do this last bit. Luke chapter 1, verse 77. This is what the passage says. This is just a wonderful thing in regards to Jesus and in regards to what he was going to do. To give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Okay? So this portion in regards to the prophecy that took place from Johnny B's dad, remember he couldn't talk for a while, and he does this whole portion. And this verse, this is kind of stuff that I just, when I see stuff like this, it just resonates with my brain. Knowledge of salvation. To give his people knowledge of salvation by forgiveness of their sins. First of all, salvation, just so you can have the picture word, in the Greek, the word salvation is to lift up from the water somebody who is in the water, to lift them up and pull them in a boat. So what you want to do, if you want to get a picture, because sometimes pictures do speak a great deal more of content, think of somebody in a body of water that has no anything, no life jacket, no anything, treading water, running out of energy, and a boat comes by, grabs the person, picks them up, and brings them in the boat. That is the Greek picture of salvation. to bring aid while a person is the body in a body of water that has no rescue, no hope, and to be that security boat for them to get in. The key in this text is the method. To give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of sins. You have committed sins, moral breaches that are answerable to your Creator. You have done that. You are maybe in the process of doing that. And unfortunately, you will do that. But by consistently staying in the boat. Everybody hear that? Consistently staying in the boat. The forgiveness, the rescue applies to that which was, that which is, and that which will be. One of the great ways that we know, by the way, that God is interlinear is because it says he always was, always is, and always will be. And this is in regards to the very things that you go through. It's a bummer that some of the things that we're going to do are going to be distraught to our own hearts, and we'll know, and the Holy Spirit will convict us, but it will not exit you from the boat. You have to jump out of the boat if you even can. That's a whole separate issue and a whole separate theology. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the forgiveness that God has granted us, that knowledge of salvation comes by his forgiveness, and we depend on that. You've done wrong, I've done wrong, we've done wrong. We don't have to always do wrong. We have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. We can make the decision to do a better job in the walk, but when we fall short, and if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every day you wake up is a fresh slate with the Lord. And stop reminding him of what you've done. He knows, but the only person you're actually reminding is yourself. Let it go. Take his forgiveness. Receive it with joy. Give him praise and stay in the boat. It's that simple from a process point of view. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 72.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.